Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into another non-mandatory week here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. We get the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road. I've decided to not have a mandatory Maryland Crab Cake Tour here this week. We'll do that when next week when we get back here. Luke Jones joins us now. He is doing all things not mandatory in Owings Mills, but much like 88% of the roster, you're showing up in Owings Mills and taking care of practice. You know, we're a week further into this. Lamar is dug in. Can we say that now? Lamar is fully dug in on whatever angst, whatever money, whatever negotiation or not I think that's the most unorthodox thing about all this is reading the tweets and Sunday it went to God and, you know, which is new. I mean, we don't see Lamar doing a lot of God on Twitter. So I don't know where his head is, but I know he's not playing football in Baltimore this week, but he will be here next week because it's mandatory. Right. And it's going to be mandatory that guys like you and I are going to have questions for him, aren't we?
Yeah. And that's what the Ravens have said. I mean, we've heard John Harbaugh say, we'll let Lamar speak for why he's not here. Greg Roman reiterated that this past week as the Ravens had their second week of OTAs and second one open to media. So, you know, there's not a whole lot new on the subject until we see Lamar Jackson in Owings Mills and he answers questions at some point. It doesn't mean he's going to be extensive with his answers, as we learned over the last year at various times when he was asked about his contract and his negotiations, and has repeatedly said he was focused on other things and primarily football. And the Ravens reiterated that over the offseason, but then he's not there for voluntary OTAs. I mean,
and he's not working on football.
Well, he's not working on football in the team context. It doesn't mean he's not working on his own. It doesn't mean that he's not, you know, not
there
doing work.
There is no other football other than team context. So let's stop that.
I'll disagree with that.
Pays him and we play team football. So the working out on the side with my bunkie in Florida and my coach and all that, dude, you have coaches. These people pay you $22 million a year. I won't back off of that. For anybody on Twitter who thinks they know more, they don't know more. The team pays him. He's not here to play shadow football or, you know, to 7-on-7 and running in the street. He's here to win football games for this franchise. And if I were paying him, I'd probably feel like John Harbaugh does.
Okay. I'm not saying he shouldn't be there. And I'm not saying that's not my personal. What I'm saying is it doesn't mean he's vacationing in the Bahamas either and not doing anything. And that was the point I was trying to make. And look, and part of this is, these don't have to be mutually exclusive things. He can work out with Adam Dado, who's part of the Tom House thing with, you know, a personal quarterbacks coach. Lots of quarterbacks around the league do that. He can do that and be there. Those are two. Those aren't things where the schedule's so rigid that you have to choose one or the other.
Said the last 4 months to go do all that.
Sure,
you know what I mean.
Sure.
So I hear you on that. And his teammates went away for 4 months, and everybody else came back except him and a couple of other guys. Well, but he's the leader. And I went through this with Mueller last week. I've talked at length with Dennis and I. Leadership means you're in the front. Leadership means you're there first. That's what leading is. There's no argument about that. There can be no discussion that you can't be a leader and not show up. That's it. Now, if you're trying to get paid, then go negotiate, but you're not even negotiating. So that's where this thing is screwy in the head. If you're really holding out, and you're Roger Dorn, and this body's not going to be anything until I get guaranteed money. Fair enough. Go back into Eric and argue for something better than the $80 million he already offered you. You know what I mean? Like that's how this works. And Billick paid for time for pay, time for play. We're getting up on time for play now. And next week's definitely time for play, right?
Right, right. But at the same time, Ray Lewis is revered as one of the great leaders of all time. He didn't go to OTAs plenty of years. And I know he got criticism at the time. Did it really?
Fame and had a pelt by then. So like,
okay, but
a different discussion. And it was
okay.
Ray Lewis did it, by the way.
Okay. And that's just what I wanted to. Yeah, that's what I wanted to clarify there. Look, my thing on this, I don't really care when veterans don't show up at OTAs. I don't. I'd be lying to you if I really cared that much. My point of contention here is I do think the quarterback position is different in that way. And if someone says, well, that's not really fair, well, then they make a heck of a lot more money than everyone else. They get way more accolades. I mean, we're all talking about Lamar being vastly...
Campbell's contract then. Go make that instead of trying to make 50
million. We're talking about Lamar Jackson's contract right now in terms of the fact that he is vastly underpaid at $23 million, yet that's still the highest salary on the team and the highest, you know, cap number for 2022 on the team. So that tells you right there, not that I'm suggesting he's not underpaid. He is very much underpaid relative to what his market value would be right now. My point is that shows you how important the quarterback position is and what the expectation traditionally has been that your quarterbacks are there. Now, that doesn't mean that there have been other quarterbacks around the league. Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen were part of the match last week. The golf thing with Tom Brady. And Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been there in Green Bay. He should be there. When you look at what their wide receiver group looks like without Devontae Adams. So, I think what's frustrating for someone like me who look. In the big picture, do I think Lamar Jackson not being there in late May and early June is having any high impact kind of effect on the 2022 season for the Ravens? I don't. But I think it is a symptom of wondering more and more about franchise and franchise quarterback being on the same page in terms of the contract, in terms of how he might feel about the coaching staff. I mean, something we haven't even had a chance to talk to Lamar about is the fact that we know Marquise Brown left and he's flat out talked about him not being happy in the context of this offense. Now, we can sit here and debate whether Marquise Brown's argument is legitimate or not, and whether he, you look at how many targets he got and all that, but knowing he was best friends on the team with Lamar Jackson and knowing that that was something that was on his mind that had weighed on him for 2 years, how many discussions do you think they had about Greg Roman and this offense and, the passing game? And so you hear that if you're Lamar Jackson, even if you are on board with what the Ravens do, your closest friend on the team is complaining about it at various points over the last 2 years. How are you going to tell me that those thoughts haven't at least crossed Lamar's mind? And that's where you wonder how much of that could figure into him not being here in May and early June. So for me, it's not even about, you need to be there because you're the leader and all that. For me, it's, and I'm not saying that that's untrue, but for me, it's much more, how can you really, you're not really showing that you're on the same page with the organization. And that's where you have the concern from a big picture standpoint in terms of contract and being happy with the current coaches and all those different things at work. So the one thing I will say in response to that, he can come in. And if the Ravens and Lamar Jackson really want to get a contract done, he comes in during mandatory minicamp week, spend a couple days and knock it out and get it done. And then this whole story goes away and no one's talking about him skipping OTAs anymore. No one's talking about the future. No one's talking about franchise tag and long-term security and long-term deals. It's all done then. And then everything is about football at that point.
But if the measurement
point
is $230 million with these knuckleheads out in Cleveland, if that's truly the measurement, then we've gone off the path, not just for the Ravens, but the Bengals are going to have this issue with Joe Burrow. Yeah. It's going to go down the line. And that's really where, when we went to the owners' meetings, no wonder Bisciotti wanted no part of me to have me ask him real questions about this kind of stuff, because this is where it is, right? This is now falling to Steve Bisciotti's lap to say, the Browns did this for that criminal kid. Yeah. What are we going to do for Lamar, who's won this and won that, when Deshaun Watson hadn't won Bunky since he was at Clemson? So that's where this thing gets weird, and the fact that there's no agent involved. And if there were an agent involved, the agent would point to that contract, as much as the lawyer out there is probably going to get that kid in a lot more trouble. Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson needs new representation, from what I can tell. But all of this is intertwined. To your point, Hollywood Brown's a part of this, and the offense is a part of this, and whether Lamar really wants to be here or really doesn't want to be here, and what he really feels about the situation, because it starts to feel like he's not even coming to the table. So it's starting to feel like, maybe he does. Maybe 2 years from now he won't be here by his choice. Maybe he doesn't like John Harbaugh. Maybe he doesn't like Baltimore. Maybe he doesn't like the weather. Who knows? But he's not here and he's not working. And that should be – it's very concerning to John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta. I'm sure it's concerning to Bisciotti. Maybe not enough to write Lamar a $200 million guaranteed check when sort of status quo would have been somewhere in the 80 or 90 million, maybe 100, 110 if you were feeling like you're Lamar and you're special and you have a statue in Louisville and you've won one playoff game. We're going to give you $200 million. I think that the trepidation, it will not be a one-way street here. I think after the last 2 weeks, this is going to change how the Ravens look at this and saying, you're out on the internet squawking about being voluntary when 95% of your players are here, and now you're going to come back in here next week and throw the football around? I don't know. Lamar's popular, and I haven't been in the clubhouse in 2 years, but I know this is the thing that makes people unpopular when you're the golden boy and I'm out sweating and it's 94 degrees and you're not here. I know that over 27 years of covering football, no matter how popular you are, there were people in the room that didn't like Ray Lewis skipping out on OTAs either. Now, they didn't say that, and they said, dude, you're making $20 million a year. You're the star of the team. Come on. Don't be that guy. Don't dust off the jersey and say, don't be that guy. You're a football player. We don't play football that much. We get months and months and months off. You know, there's a city commitment. There's living here, being a part of the team, part of the franchise, going out and having a steak on Wednesday night during practice. All those things you can't do during the season because the season, as you know, isn't fun. The season isn't fun. I mean, maybe it's fun on Sunday when you win, but the season's not fun. It's not glorious in that way for anybody. This is the time you could be having fun and making your new best friend on the team that's not the guy from Miami who was disgruntled and ask off of a winning team, literally.
Yeah, that's fair. I'm not going to argue with that. So,
by the way, you're on a 6-game losing streak. Well, you know what I mean? The team didn't make the playoffs.
I'll be honest. I don't care quite as much about that element because John Harbaugh would also tell you in the same way that if they won the Super Bowl last year, it's a new season. What happened last year in that context doesn't matter as much. And Lamar didn't even play the last 4 games. But
as a franchise, as a fan, and as expectations, as all sure. of that goes, there you should be upset that you didn't make the playoffs last year. Right? You should be all of that. I'm upset they didn't make the playoffs last year.
Well, and that's where you go back to what Steve Bisciotti did say in Florida earlier this spring in terms of him saying Lamar is so focused and so obsessed with winning a Super Bowl that the contract's not at the forefront of his attention right now, which to me,
that's inaccurate. Then, that's either a lie or it's naive.
Well, I think that's where probably the Ravens are guilty of running a little bit too much cover in what is a contract negotiation. And when you have a contract negotiation, oftentimes the two sides, even if they ultimately come to a deal and everything is kumbaya at the end, it can be contentious or not contentious necessarily, but you have different goals in mind. You have different objectives in mind. If you are Lamar, as much as you were talking about Deshaun Watson, if I'm Lamar right now or any quarterback, I'm looking at the Deshaun Watson deal and I'm saying this game has changed entirely now because you, one of the 32 owners, regardless of whether it's the Browns or not, they're still one of the 32 NFL ownership groups. They paid someone with that amount of baggage and that kind of legal and civil case baggage in problems right now and understanding that he might not even play.
Oh, and traded away half the franchise too. Don't forget that.
I mean, sure. So you look at all that and say, wow, okay. Even if you want to try to make an argument that Deshaun Watson is a smidge better than me, and I'm not saying he is better than Lamar. I'm just saying any of these young quarterbacks now, whether you're talking about Lamar, Kyler Murray, Joe Burrow in the coming months, you know, all those guys that kind of fit into that category of top shelf or near the top shelf kind of quarterbacks, they're looking at that and saying the game's changed. And that's why I've said to you, whatever numbers the Ravens talked with Lamar Jackson a year ago and, you know, whatever happened there, whether he was turned off by the offer, you know, was insulted by the offer, whatever, you know, and I don't know because Lamar hasn't answered questions about this. That game has changed. That offer is completely irrelevant now because of this Deshaun Watson deal. So that's where the Ravens or the Cardinals or the Bengals or whoever is going to be in the market for a franchise quarterback or keeping their franchise quarterback in the coming months, they're going to have to make a decision of whether you're going to be in that game or not. And do we see the other owners put their foot down in the same way that the owners put their foot down after the Vikings gave Kirk Cousins a fully guaranteed deal? We'll see. But, you know, again, this is a different animal than a 3-year fully guaranteed deal for Cousins several years back. So, you know, this was 5 fully guaranteed years. So, you know, what's it going to look like? But I'll say all these owners, including the Ravens and Steve Bisciotti, need to be prepared to acknowledge the game has changed there. And if you're not, then there's has to be a full acknowledgement that you could end up losing your guy at the end of the day. So that's where I'll look at it from the flip side. If you are Lamar Jackson, and as much as we've talked about waiting and the injury risk and all the different things we've talked about for the better part of, you know, going on probably 18 months talking about a potential long-term contract for him, you know, him waiting has indeed put him in a position where he's going to get more than Josh Allen got from the Bills last year. I mean, that's, you know, the market's, it's the price has gone up since then. And we know there's new TV deals kicking in and the cap's going to continue to go up. So from that standpoint, he's potentially done very well for himself, but at the same time, you still come back to what is the end game here for him? You know, is it to get a deal done next off season? Is it to get a deal done after 1 year under the tag? You know, do you say I'm willing to do the tag 2 years? And then after that, it does become very prohibitive to try to tag someone and hold on to them from a cost standpoint. So, you know, we'll see. But again, as has been the case for quite a while now, we're all left to speak for Lamar and try to figure out what he wants exactly. And the team has done that, quite frankly. And that's where, as I've said, with some of the comments made this offseason, while I think they all came from a good place, at the same time, the Ravens are negotiating and trying to win a negotiation as well. And some of that, you know, whether it was deliberate or not, trying to provide a little bit of cover for their franchise quarterback has made this situation not look as good. If they had just said less and not talked in those terms about Lamar, and then he skips OTAs, and then you say, well, this is kind of like Kyler Murray in Arizona, where, you know, it's a contract situation. And we see guys all the time when they're looking for a new contract, they tend to skip OTAs and voluntary things. Whether you like it or not, that's part of the leverage or clout that they perceive themselves to have. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. And again, like I said, this can change as quickly as both sides just saying, let's figure this out. You know, they open a bottle of wine and they figure it out and they hammer out a contract.
Figuring it out, he got $230 million, I need $230 million. If figuring that out, I would think figuring that out is about getting Steve Bisciotti on the phone, and Steve just shakes his head and says, there ain't no way.
Yeah.
There ain't no way. Well, so you get hold out whatever you want, young man, but there ain't no way. And if you want to make $23 million this year, then you have to show up in September. But I'm not giving you $230 million. I'm not giving you a mirror of the worst contract ever signed in the history of the league. I'm just not going to do that. And
okay. If you're the Ravens, you need to be fully prepared that you're not going to. Okay. But then you have to be fully prepared to know that you could lose your quarterback. I mean, that's just reality now. This goes back to the Orioles 15 years ago talking about fiscal responsibility and, oh, that guy's overpaid on the market. Well, the market's the market, right? And if someone's willing to do it, then you need to be prepared to either do it yourself or you're going to have to come up with something else. And, you know, that if I'm Lamar Jackson and I hear that, then I'm saying then trade me then. And that's where it comes down. I mean, I'm just looking at this, trying to look at this from his perspective and the team's perspective. And I get it. I understand both sides of that. But
part of the trade,
when a deal such as the Watson deal
will give you three picks and then give me $230, then give me more money than you're willing to give me.
I don't think there's a team out there that's going to do that?
Maybe. I don't know what the perception of Lamar
Browns did it for others. The Browns did it for Deshaun. I mean, I just think it comes down to this. Teams that don't have a franchise quarterback are desperate. The Browns illustrated that, right? I mean, they even had a guy who had gotten them to the playoffs at the very least, and you see what they did. So you're telling me there aren't some other teams out there that are desperate for a franchise quarterback? I mean, all it takes is one, right? I mean, we say that all the time. It takes one team, and it completely changes things. So I hear everything you're saying, and I'm not saying the Ravens should be doing cartwheels thinking about the idea that they're going to have to give their quarterback $230 million guaranteed, but then you need to be prepared to understand that you might lose the guy then. Whether you're talking Lamar, whether it's Joe Burrow in Cincinnati, whether it's Kyler Murray, you know, whether it's Justin Herbert in LA with the Chargers. I mean, these guys are going to be asking for that. And if they don't, then they should fire their agents, because an agent's worthless then. Because if Deshaun Watson could get that, and I get it, you can say it's the Browns, you can say Haslam's an idiot, all those different things. And that might be true, but it still happened. So it changes things, right? I mean, that's just, it's where we are at this point. And, you know, quarterbacks, if their agents are worth their salt, they will be doing everything they possibly can to get that kind of a deal. And that's, you know, we'll see how it plays out. But it feels like, as I said at the time, that felt like a sea change to me that is changing, going to change how this works, at least for quarterbacks in the NFL.
I'll text you some questions for Lamar. I'm not going to be around early next week. Luke Jones is around. He is Baltimore Luke. He will be doing all things Orioles this week and the Cubbies in town. And then, of course, mandatories next week as the Lamar Jackson drama rolls on. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive and Ravens and Lamar Jackson and contracts.